Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Lamed Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before or the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the middle of Daf Lamed Tes. For greater precision, you can count 25 lines from the top. You will notice that on the side of the Gemara, we have written in the margin, Nosei Klali, a general topic heading. It reads, Kilayim B'chutzlaretz, the issue of mixed breeding, mixed planting of different types of agricultural growth in Chutzlaretz, outside of the land of Israel. It is very clear that when the Torah prohibits mixed planting of vegetables with vines or interbreeding vegetables themselves, or grains, different kinds of grains, or grafting of trees, these are all strictly prohibited in the land of Israel. We saw in our Mishnah that those laws that pertain to the land are basically applicable to the land of Israel. The Tanakhama had mentioned chutz min akilayim va'orla, and we saw that kilayim, even though it's a land-based commandment, it has applicability to Chutz Laaretz as well. HaGemara Tadun, the Gemara will evaluate, Al Eze Sug Kilayim Osir B'Chutz Laaretz. What kind of kilayim, what kind of mixed breeding of plants is prohibited in Chutz Laaretz? We present three realms. One, Harkova Silon, grafting with regard to trees, taking the branch of one variety of fruit and grafting it onto the or into the trunk of a tree that produces a different variety of fruit. Number two, kilei hakerem, that involves mixed breeding of plants in the context of a vineyard. And number three, kilei zroim, mixing different kinds of seeds in the context of vegetable production. I'm quite aware that in translating, we are not doing full service to this particular topic. There's an entire tractate of Mishnah is dedicated to Kilayim. There are many, many more details to the matter than we are going to be learning today. And even in translating, there's so much more to say, but we're going to move on all the same. The immediate topic heading, the Nosei, it reads on the side of our Gemara, Lefaresh Hod Yom Rabbi Yochanan Loikin Al HaKilayim B'chutzaretz. Rabbi Yochanan makes a comment that lashing is to be administered to those who violate the law of Kilayim outside the land of Israel. Now the Gemara. Omer Avasi, Omer Rabbi Yasi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Loikin al hakilayim devar Torah. One is subjected to the penalty of loikin, of lashing, for violating kilayim. Devar Torah means from the Torah, from the Torah's perspective, in other words, not rabbinic, but doraisa, Torah level, a Torah level violation regarding kilayim in Chutz Laaretz. It's interesting to note, by the way, that in our Gemara text, we have Loikin al Hakilayim. In Rashi's version, just a few lines up from here, he says Loikim al Hakilayim b'chutzlaretz devar Torah. There, the term chutzlaretz appears explicit in the Rashi version. But we're talking about chutzlaretz. The Gemara asks, V'ho anan tnan hakilayim idivrei sofrim. Have we not learned in a Tanaic source that kilayim is punishable is binding only Medivrei Sofrim on a rabbinic level. And of course, we're talking about Chutz Loretz. The Gemara says, Lo Kasha, there's no difficulty, we can resolve Rabbi Yochanan with this source. Kan b'kilei hakerem, kan b'harkova so'ilon. One topic deals with kilei hakerem, the other topic deals with harkova so'ilon. Harkova so'ilon is grafting. Grafting different varieties, one branch of a tree into the trunk of a different kind of fruit tree. If you were to take a peach branch and graft it into an orange tree trunk, two different, clear different varieties of fruits, that would be a Torah level violation, even if it's done in Chutz Loretz, warranting a punishment of lashing. Now, Kilei HaKerem involves planting vegetables in the midst of a vineyard. There is more detail to the topic of Kilei Kerem, which will be revealed as the Gemara goes on. But let's make it clear that Kilei Kerem is planting one kind of seed, a type of grain or vegetable seed in the midst of a vineyard, as opposed to grafting. So Kilei Kerem in Chutz Loretz is Divrei Sofrim. That's what the Tanaic source was referring to. And this is Kiddush Shmuel in accordance with Shmuel's teaching. We have a long marking here for Shmuel's presentation. The Omar Shmuel, the pasuk says, "Es chukosai tishmoru," and it goes on to say, you can see on the next line, "Behem techolos habeil kilayim, sodecholos sizra kilayim," etc. But we're breaking the pasuk up into its phrases. So, "Es chukosai tishmoru chukim." Shechokakti loch kvar, those laws that I have commanded you already in the past. Behem techolo sabir kilayim, sod techolo sizra. Ma behem techo baharbo, when we speak about mixed breeding of animals, behem techo is your cattle, your animals, that has to do with harbo. That's the term used for breeding animals, in this case taking a goat and mating it with a sheep. That would be a problem, a violation of kilayim. So af sadcha beharkova, the similar approach to trees or to the land form of kilayim, of mixed breeding, would be harkova. It could be that the Gemara is making a type of analogy, just like with regard to behemos, there's an element of insertion, a physical bonding of two different varieties, literally inserting one into the other together for the purpose of animal reproduction. So too, in the case of the Sodecha, the land-based kilayim, would be the insertion of the branch of one variety of tree, fruit tree, into another variety of fruit tree. So you have that physical analogy. Uma behemtecha noyheg bein baretz bein b'chutzaretz. And just like the mixed breeding of animals is not a land-based prohibition, so it's applicable in the diaspora as well, outside of Israel. Af sodecha, so too the prohibition of sodecha is nohig bein baretz bein l'chutzaretz. So that's Shmuel's basis for saying that harkovas ilon is binding outside of Eretz Israel, as the pasuk parallels harkovas ilon to the mating of different varieties of animals together. Viela hoksiv sodecha, the pasuk though says your land would mean land specified to the Jewish people, and not so, we can't say that outside Eretz Israel that description would apply. Rashi says v'hoksiv sodecha hamiyuchad lach, that's designated, specified for you, the Jewish people, v'chutzlartz lo hiknu lach min hashamayim, the areas outside the boundaries of Eretz Israel have not been heavenly granted to the Jewish people. So if you're saying that the pasuk indicates a law of prohibition of mixed breeding outside the land of Israel, how can you say that in the context of the presence of Lord Sadecha? The Gemara answers, Hahu lemutei zroyim shebechutz laretz. The Sadecha word has a role of limitation. It comes to limit the case of, as Rashi explains, zroyim dekilei akerem bechutz laretz. That's Rashi's take on this. The mixing of different seeds of vegetation in the midst of a vineyard. There, the Torah does not prohibit when it comes to chutz laretz. So, kilei hakerem does not apply in chutz laretz on a Torah level, whereas harkovas ilon does apply in chutz laretz on a Torah level. As we look on in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a long marking. I call this a maisa. It's actually there are two incidents that we have marked together. Rav Chonon v'Rav Arnon, Havu Shakli v'Azli b'Urcha. These two rabbis were walking on the road. Chazyu lahu gavra. They saw a man, the Kozora Zroim Bahadi Hadodi. He's planting different varieties of seeds together. Omarle, so one rabbi said to the other, Nesi Mar Neshamte, let us excommunicate him. He is in violation of a rabbinic teaching. Omarle Lo Chavrisu. Rashi says across the mirror, Lo Chavrisu. Ein hilchis kilayim mechuvarim lochem. He says that the laws of kilayim are not that clear. Are not that clear to you. Vesu. Obviously his response is that look, we don't have you don't have great clarity in the laws of kilayim, and hence we don't have sufficient grounds for excommunicating the individual. Vesu chazyuhu lau gavra deka zorachiti visari begufni. And they additionally, in another occasion, they saw the man, it's the same man as the first story, that was planting wheat and barley in a vineyard. Amalei le simor neshamte, let us excommunicate him. Amalei lo tsaharisu. Where Rashi says, Lo Tsarisu, Ein Hilchis Kilayim Tsaho Haros Umeiros Lochem. The laws of Kilayim aren't so bright and enlightening to you. Namely, like we said before, you're not so expert in the laws of Kilayim. Omar Lay, now he explains why does he say that? Lo Kaimalon Kribyoshia, do we not hold like Rabyoshia? That when it comes to Kilei HaKerem, the Omar Ach Yisrachita Usura V'Chartzim B'Mapoilus Yad, the violation of Kilei HaKerem is only, and this is according to Rabbi Yoshia, who we hold like, is only when you take the three varieties, wheat, barley, and chartzim, a grape seed, and put them in the same hole in the ground, which is the practice when you're planting seeds, make a little hole and put the seed in the hole. So Kilei HaKerem is violated only when you do that. And the men that we saw in the story above, they weren't doing that. So that, as he said, you don't know the laws of Kilayim well enough to justify putting that man into excommunication. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking. On the side, you'll notice we have a triangle featured and a mivneh, a structural note, which reads, Shnei Lishoinois Shorav Yosef, with two versions of Rav Yosef, Be'inyan Kilei Zroim, regarding the topic of mixed breeding of plants. The Gemara, Rav Yosef Ma'arev Bizrini Vizora. Rav Yosef would mix different kinds of vegetable seeds together and plant them, and here we'll emphasize not in a vineyard, and this is not in Eretz Yisrael either, so let's make that clear too. Omer le Abaye v'anan tanan hakilayim midivrei soifrim. How can you mix seeds together and plant them in a mixed fashion when the Tanaic source says that kilayim is a rabbinic prohibition? Amar Lei, Rav Yosef answers, Lo Kasha. There's no question on me from that source. Kan b'kilei akerem, kan b'kilei zroyim. One is dealing with kilei akerem, mixed planting in a vineyard, and the other is mixed planting of random seeds not related to a vineyard. And we explain further. Kilei hakerem, tebe'oretz asurim b'hano. In kilei akerem, when you have this mixed planting in the context of a vineyard, the growth becomes prohibited not only to eat but to benefit from. That shows a high level of severity, an extreme level of severity of violation. It's also even to benefit from them. You can't sell them, can't give them as a gift. So something like that, which is in Eretz Yisrael, Osir Bahano, B'chutzlartz Nami Gozru Rabbanan, outside the land of Israel, so the rabbis imposed a rabbinic esor and a rabbinic prohibition on kilei hakerem. Kilei zroim, the mixing of vegetables and then planting the mixed seeds, that's the ba'oretz lo asir b'hano. It's usur to do that in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not going to result in a growth in a plant that's going to be forbidden to benefit from. So in Eretz Yisrael itself, it's not osir b'hano, but chutzlo, it's not milo, goes ru rabbanon. And outside the land of Israel, there isn't even a rabbinic prohibition whatsoever. And hence, I am justified in what I'm doing. Ma'ariv bizrini vizora. Chodar Amr of Yosef, lav milsehi de amri. That which I said is not accurate. It needs to be retracted. What did Rav Yosef say that needs to be retracted? He said that there was never any rabbinic prohibition on kilei zroim in chutz laretz. What motivates Rav Yosef to retract this? The Rav Zora Ginso de Bei Rav Mishari. Rav, who was in chutz laretz outside of Israel, he had a garden that sustained the students in his yeshiva. Self-sustaining yeshiva, if you will. And the garden, which produced their food, produced vegetables, was planted row after row, separate rows for separate varieties of vegetables. My time, why was Rav so meticulous in planting the garden in that fashion? Lav mishum eruve kilayim. Is it not because he was wary of the problem of them growing together in a mixed fashion, which would have resulted in a kilayim prohibition? So this is what Rav Yosef is basing himself on when he says, I want to retract what I said in Rav Yosef number 1. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, we'll say Rav Yosef number 2, You don't have to retract because of Rav's practice. Bishlamo yashmeinen. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Arba alaba ruchos harugov yachas beemtza shapir. If Rav had planted a plot of ground that measures, if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara in Shabbos, and Rashi alludes to that Gemara, a plot measuring 6x6 hand breadths, 6x6 tfachim, and on each side of the plot, like imagine a picture frame, a row on the northern edge, the southern edge, the eastern edge, and the western edge of that plot. That's four. If he was diligent in planting four different varieties of vegetables on the four sides of the plot, and a fifth variety in smack in the middle. I'm not going to get into the details of that. It's an involved discussion in Masechet Shabbos, but that kind of planting, where you plant four different varieties in a plot, in a singular plot, it's called an aruga. In a singular plot, measuring 6x6 tfachim, five different varieties in the way we just described, then Shapir. Shapir means then I could see that Rav was concerned with avoidance of the laws of Kilayim in Chutz La'aretz. Because, as the Gemara in Shabbos says, if you want to show how many different crops you can pack into a small area of land and not violate Kilayim, so plant it that way. That would show someone who's wary of violating, wants to avoid the violation of mixed planting. Elohacha, in the story with Rav, how he planted his yeshiva vegetable garden, each variety of vegetable in a separate row, mishum noi, it looks nicer, vinami mishum tircha deshamohi, or to save the shamish, the custodian, serviceman who would harvest the crops from searching where each one was. Here, each crop, each variety had its own row, and if he were sent out to get me some onions, he would go right to the onion row. He wouldn't have to look around where the onion's growing, and likewise for each other variety. So that from the story involving Rav, Abaye says, Rav Yosef, you didn't have to retract what you originally had taught. Namely, that the laws of Kilei Zroyim in Chutz La'aretz do not apply. So that in the final analysis, if you were to simply stick with Abaye, the Rav Yosef was justified in what he did in Rav Yosef number one, mixed the varieties together. Rav's behavior did not show an attempt to avoid the violation of Kilei Zroyim. What Rav was doing in his separate rows was simply more aesthetic, or it would be easier for the Shamash eventually to harvest. The Mishnah. And here we embark in a very quite a new topic. It's a topic where we analyze mitzvah fulfillment or to the contrary. Kol ha'isa mitzvah achas mitivin loy umarichin loy yomov v'noichel es ha'oretz. Anyone who does a singular mitzvah, even though it sounds like it means that he's going to have it good in this world, and Neuchel es ha'aretz sounds like he's going to inherit a portion in the world to come. V'chol she'eino oise mitzvah achas, ein mativin lo, v'ein marichin lo yomov, v'eino Neuchel es ha'aretz. And someone who doesn't do a singular mitzvah, he's not rewarded, he doesn't have a lengthened life, and he will not have a portion in the world to come. What we've done is we've presented a literal type translation to the Mishnah, but the actual explanation of Mishnah is really far from that. On the side, we have a topic heading, which reads Ti'urim Shel, descriptions of, number one, Mi Shiyesh Lo Roi V'Zechuyo, someone who in his life, he has majority of positive acts, of meritorious behavior. Rov means a majority, are zuchios, or positive. And number two, mi shiesh lo rov avero, someone whose life is filled with a majority of sins. The Gemara, v'ramini, we raise a seeming contradiction to our Mishnah. If this source seems familiar to many of you, that's good, because this source is read on a daily basis as part of our morning prayers. So the source says that these are the mitzvos that a person benefits from in terms of reward, the fruits in this world, and the keren kaimas olam haba means the principal reward is in the world to come. And we go on to give a list of those mitzvahs. And they include kibud av v'aim, gemilus chasodim, achnosas orchim, v'avoa shalom bein olam l'chavero, v'sal mutorah keneged kulam, and the greatest of all mitzvahs is the study of Torah. What's the point? What's the contradiction? This source says that only these mitzvahs, kibud av v'aim, gemilus chasodim, etc., that are listed in this source, will yield some benefit in this world, the world in which we live. The Mishnah indicated any mitzvah that one does will grant a person reward in this world as well. So, the ability to achieve reward in this world, is it limited to a specific list of mitzvahs? Or, as the Mishnah says, it's pertinent to the fulfillment of any mitzvah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hachi Komar. Thusly, you should understand our Mishnah. Kol ha'oseh mitzvah achas yisera al zechuyosav. Anyone who does one mitzvah more, making him a person of majority merit. So mitivin lo v'doyma k'mish mekayim kol ha'torah kula. He is given reward, and he gives the impression of someone that has fulfilled the entire Torah. So that's what our Mishnah is trying to say. When the Mishnah speaks about mitzvah achas, it doesn't mean one who fulfills a singular mitzvah, but it means he does, it's that one extra mitzvah that tips the balance scale in favor of zechuyos, in favor of merit. The Gemara asks, "Michlal, should we then infer the Hanoch afilu b'chadonami?" The source that listed the mitzvahs, they, even if you do one of them, meaning even if you weren't mekayim other mitzvos, that you would warrant getting reward in this world and the principal waiting for you in the world to come. Omar Rav Shmaya. It's clear from the Gemara that the list in the source of Eilu Dvorim, the list in starting with Kibud Av V'Aim, Gemilus Chasodim, etc., there is something unique about them. But once we describe the Mishnah as saying, if you do any mitzvah, tipping the balance scale in favor of merit, you get reward in this world and the principal waits for the world to come, then what's special about the mitzvahs listed in the source, Kibud Av V'Aim, etc.? So are we to assume then that with regard to those, even if you did one of them, you would be you would warrant a reward in this world and the principal waits for the world to come? Amar Rav Shmaya, so Rav Shmaya answers, Loimar shim hoisa shkula machras. We'll explain that. The unique element of the mitzvah, the list of mitzvahs in Eilu Dvorim, is that if you have a person that is literally balanced between merit and demerit, and in the balanced side of merit, he has one of the mitzvahs listed before, Kibud Av V'Aim, or Gemilus Chasodim, or Achnosas Orchim, is one of those special mitzvahs. In his half, and I emphasize half, 50%, in his 50% of merit, so then he merits the reward in this world and the principal waiting for him in the world to come. Let's take a look at Rashi. A few lines up from here, Lomar Shimhoisa Shkula Machras, Hodi Kotoni Eilu Dvorim, the source that began with the words Eilu Dvorim, the list that specified the mitzvahs of Kibud Av V'Aim, Gimusod, etc., that is describing a person, Bemechza Voinus and Mechzachis Komar, person who is a 50-50. V'yesh Bemechza Chis Achaz Meilu. And amongst his 50% schus, he has one of these special mitzvahs. Then we say, Machras is a kaf, ki ilu have a ruba, tips the balance in his favor to make it appear as if he has a majority of merit. And he, since he has an, on his side of equal mitzvah fulfillment, he has one of the special mitzvahs, he doesn't need to have an extra one to tip the balance in favor of merit. If you have a person that's a 50-50 man that doesn't have the, he doesn't have in his side of merits the one of these special mitzvahs, etc., then he will need an extra mitzvah to tip the balance in the direction of merit. As we look ahead in the Gemara, we will see two Tanaic sources. We've labeled them Roman numeral number 1, followed by Roman numeral number 2. The Gemara will present number 2 as contradicting number 1. Following them, you see Abaye and Rava. We've numbered them 1 and 2. You can see after the second source. They give explanations. When we get to Rava, Rava will make reference to a Tana by the name of Rabbi Yankif. For us to appreciate the explanation of this sugya, we're going to have to learn Rashi, and we might learn the Tosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam, as well. But in order to appreciate the Tosfos and Rabbeinu Tam, one would have to first continue on to see the source that Rava is referring to when he mentions Rabbi Yankif. Now the Gemara. V'chol ha'isa mitzvah achas yisera zichu Yosef. Anyone who performs one mitzvah above the 50% merit that he may have, mitivin lo, he will benefit. He will receive reward. Rashi says across from here, mitivin lo l'shalim l'ischar mitzvosav b'chayav. Rashi adds kidei l'tordo, but that's we'll leave that aside for right now. But mitivin lo essentially means he is given reward. V'rominu kol shizuchiyosav merubin me'avinosav merin lo. Anyone who has more merits than sins, a very difficult phrase, but it says bad befalls him, Marian Lo. Rashi on this says, Marian Lo, Ba'olam Hazeh, he has it bad in this world, L'nakosim Evanosov, to cleanse him from any sins that he has. She tells Chas Sholem that when he comes to the world to come, he will experience only reward. So the source is telling us about a person who's zechuyos or merubin me'avonosov, merin lo. V'doymen kemi shesorof kolatera kula, and he appears because of his life of suffering as one who has burnt the entire Torah. V'lo shir mimeno afilu oisachas, and has left nothing of it, even one letter. V'chol shavonosov merubin mischuyosov, and he who has more sin than merit, Mativin lo, he will have it good. V'doyme kemishikiyim kol ha'tera kula, and in looking at his life, he would appear as one who fulfilled the entire Torah. V'lo chisar ois achas menan, has not left out even one letter. Now, as far as the sources pitted against one another, source number one describes someone who has a mitzvah achas yisera zuchu Yosef, mativin lo. Source number two, Zechu Yosef Merubin, again, majority merit, and it says Merian Lo. That would appear to be a contradiction. So in other words, however you explain Mativin in source one, you would expect that's what Mativin in source number two means. And to the contrary, however you explain Merian in source two, that's what Merian would mean if it appeared in source one. Omar Abaye, we're going to first read Abaye. We're not going to offer any explanation until we read on in the Gemara. Abaye says, Masnisin di avdin le yoim tov v'yoim bish. Rava Omar ha moni rabyankivhi. Source number two that describes someone who has majority merits will have it bad. It means we'll have it bad in this world. And that's in accordance with Rabbi Yankiv. Diomar schar mitzvah b'hai al-maleka. Rabbi Yankiv holds that rewards for mitzvahs are not given out, are not divided out in this world. Reward for mitzvahs, reward for fulfilling God's will, is only in the world to come. Tesanya. And here we have a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Yankiv features his point. Tesanya Rabbi Yankiv, Oimer, Ein Lechol, Kol Mitzvah, Mitzvah, Shiksuva B'Torah, Shematin Schor B'Tzida. You won't find any Mitzvah of the Torah that records next to the Mitzvah the actual reward. She'ein Tchiyas HaMeisim Tluyim Ba. Then in order to receive that reward, you're dealing with a later time. Tchias Mesa means the revival of the dead. In other words, reward is in the world to come, in a later phase of existence. The Kibbut Aveim Ksiv, here is an example, the mitzvah of respecting parents, it says, Laman Yarichun Yomecho Laman Yitavloch. That's the posuk that you find with Kibbut Aveim in the second commandments, in Parshas Veschanan, the second set of Ten Commandments. B'shiluach HaKengsiv, regarding the mitzvah of sending away a mother bird before you take her eggs or chicks, Ksiv Laman Itav Loch Varach Deyomim. It speaks about benefit and a long life. So by Kibbut Aveim, you see the promise of a long life and benefit, and similarly by Shiluach HaKen. That's what the Torah says for one who fulfills these mitzvahs. And now, Rabbi Yankiv continues and says, Harei Shomer lo Oviv. Imagine, someone's father tells him, Alei Labira Vaveli Gozolos. Go to the top of the house and bring me down some chicks that have nested over there. In other words, the father is requesting of his son to fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, and by doing so, the father will get the chicks. So the son is actually fulfilling two mitzvahs, Kibbut Av plus Shiluach HaKein. V'yolo labira v'sholach hazaim v'notas abanim, and he went up the ladder to the top of the structure, sent away the mother, took the children, took the chicks, and on his way down, he fell and died. Well, Heichon Toivos Yomov Shozeh, Heichon Arichus Yomov Shozeh. The Torah spoke about a good life, a long life. Where is it? Where do you see that over here? Elo, Laman Yitav Loch, Loilom Shekulo Toiv, Laman Yarichun Yomecho, Loilom Shekulo Aruch. The promise of the good life is a reward in the world that's totally good, total toiv. And the reward for lengthy life is the reward given in the world, in the existence that's eternal, kulo oroch, complete length, eternal. That's not the characteristic of what we refer to when we say this world. So Rabbi Yankiv's point is Schar b'hai al-maleka. So source number two, Roman numeral number two above, that described someone who has majority merits will have it bad. It means he'll have it bad in this world, because this world is not the place for receiving reward anyway. The bad that he experiences will cleanse him from any sins that he does have. After all, we describe someone who's majority merit, but there is a minority of sin. So the the bad that he experiences in this world, the setbacks, the pains, the frustrations, the ailments, the bereavements, or whatever, that will cleanse him from the sins, so that he'll be ready to receive the reward due to him in the world to come. That's the place to receive reward. That was essentially Rava's response to resolving these two sources. Source number two is in accordance with Rabbi Yankiv, who doesn't see any reward in this world. Source number one is not Rabbi Yankiv. And in source one, reference was made to having it good in this world. Because as far as source one is concerned, it's not in accordance with Rabbi Yankiv, so it doesn't preclude receiving reward in this world. The Gemara afterwards will go through a number of questions or highlighted with triangles, but before we get to that, we have to go over what we've done, focusing on Rashi and his explanation of Abaye, and then we might end up looking at the second Tosfos as well for Rabbeinu Tam's explanation. So now we take a look at Rashi. Abaye had said, Masnisin the Avdin le Yoim Tov Yom Bish. The Rashi that we'll look at is a few lines above from here. Masnisin de Kotoni Mativin Umarian. I would assume that Rashi is referring to what we have as source number two, in which you saw the terms Marian and Mativan. So that source that makes reference to Marian and Mativan and Marian, the Avdin Le Yom Tov Yom Bish. We make for him a good day and a bad day. Mi Sha'oise Mitzvah Yisera, the Have Ruba Zechuyos. Someone who does one extra mitzvah. When we say extra means above the 50% mitzvahs, 50% averis that he has, tipping the scale in favor of merit, so he's now Ruba Zechuyos. Misaknin Loi Ba'olam Hazeh Yom Tov. Now, this term, Yom Tov, might be actually an irony, or it's Yom Tov, but only when you look at the broader picture. We make for him a good day in this world. What do we mean by a good day? Shenifroin mimenu avinoisov. We punish him for his sins. Vezeu tikun Yom Tov lo l'olam haba. And that's for his ultimate benefit to receive his reward in the world to come. V'chol shavinoisov merubin Dikotoni Marian Lo. Now, this we did not see in source number two. This expression of someone whose Avoinus are Merubin, Marian Lo, it doesn't seem to me that we have that in our text. But it could be inferred from source number one, where it had spoken about someone who had a majority of merits. But even though you could extrapolate that someone has a majority of sin, Marian Lo. So Rashi does make reference, though, to a source that teaches me someone who has Avinosim Reuben and Marian Lo, Hainu. The Avdin Le Hazmonas Yoim Bish. That means that we will have a bad day for him. What does that mean, a bad day? That he'll get reward. Shemeshalman Lo Yischar Mitzvoisov Kan. He'll receive reward. You'll have a person that we can classify as majority sinner. He's a bad person. We'll have it good in this world. Liyos Misukin Lo Yom Ra, so that he is essentially awaiting a bad day in the world to come. Now we turn our attention to the Tosfos. Second Tosfos on the page, Masnisin Da'avdin Le'Yom Tov Yom Bish. Tosfos quotes the Rashi, which we already learned, but we'll go over it again through the Tosfos. And we highlighted Pirush Bekuntres with a diamond so as to see where Rabbeinu Tam comes in with his diamond later on. So, Tosfos explains, quotes Rashi in his presentation of Abaye, Masnisin, the Avden Le'Yom Tov Yom Bish, Pirush Bekuntres, Misha Oise Mitzvah Yisera. Someone who does a mitzvah above the 50% mark, to have a ruba zechuyos, now he's a majority of merit. Misakim lo b'olam hazeh yom tov. We make for him in this world a good day. What is a good day? V'nifroim imenu avinoisov. He is punished for his sins. V'zeo tikun yom tov lo'olam haba. By doing that, we're making it good for him in the world to come, so that when in the world to come he will not suffer anything. V'chol shavinosav Reuben dekotoni merian lo, and he who has a majority of sin concerning whom it is taught that he has it bad, hainu davdinon le hazmonas yoim bish, that tells us that he is being set up for a bad day in the future. Shemeshalman lo schar mitzvos of kan, he is going to be receiving reward for the mitzvahs he's done, and the reward will be in this world. Liyos mesukan lo yom ra, so as to be set up for a bad day in the future. Rava Omar Pirush Rava gave his explanation, Le'olam kiramoron meikora, as we originally thought, Metivin lo bischar peros, Vakeren kayemes. Metivin means he'll get the byproduct reward, but the principal reward remains for the world to come. Vahach masnis de katoni mirian lo. The source number two that said someone who has a majority of merit will have it bad, that's Rabbi Yankivhi. The Omar Schar Mitzvus Vechule means Bahai Amaleko. That the reward for mitzvus is not in this world. So as far as Rava is concerned, there is a simple resolution between source, well, that which we call source one, and which is essentially an explanation of our Mishnah, and source number two. Source number one is a source that acknowledges that in this world a person can receive part of his mitzvah reward, and source number two, which says if he's majority merit, he has it bad. That's because that's Rabbi Yankiv. In this world, there is no benefit. The Gemara, the Tosfos continues. Vikosha. Here he raises a problem with Rashi's approach. Demeshani ha'moni Rabbi Yankivhi. Rava introduced Rabbi Yankiv as an explanation for source 2. Mashma de'ad hashtolo ukminon k'Rabbi Yankiv. It would give us the impression that up till Rava, there was no explanation that was based on the thoughts, the philosophy of Rabbi Yankiv. However, Ulapirusha Kuntris, but if you focus on Rashi's explanation, Labaye Nami, as far as Abaye is concerned, Bain Masnisin, Bain Braisa, also Rabbi Yankiv. Whether it's the Mishnah or the Brisa, it works out in accordance with Rabbi Yankiv. How is that? Because according to Rashi's Pshat, the reference to Mirian Lo, one who had majority merits, is going to have it bad in this world, and that is what's considered good Why? Because that way he gets more schar in Olam Haba. Well, that is in accordance with Rabbi Yankiv, that you're a man of majority merit and you're going to have it bad because reward is in the world to come. So according to Rashi's Pshat, the approach taken by Abaye is in effect dependent upon accepting Reb Yankiv. And the problem with that approach is that according to Rava, only with Rava's appearance do we seem to introduce Reb Yankiv. Let's continue now in the Tosfos. Lekach pirush Rabbeinu Tam. Masnisin the Avdin le Yom Tov v'Yom Bish v'Travayu ba'Olam Hazeh. The source that says that we make for him a good day and a bad day are both in this world. So again, Rabbeinu Tam is explaining, is quoting what Abaye said. Abaye said, "Masnis and Avin le Yom Tov Yom Bish," and both of them are in this world. Umetivin lo debraisa. The expression metivin lo we saw in the Tanaic source. Have a pirush amasnisen. The term metivin lo is an explanation of the Mishnah. Klomar, pe'omim she'oisin lo yom tov, kedei lekabel schar mitzvoisav bo'ilam hazeh. He will at times have a good day in order for that to be the payment for his mitzvahs in this world. Right there, this idea of getting paid for mitzvahs in this world is not a Rabbi Yankiv idea. On the day that he has it good, it will give us the impression as if he's a man deserving of reward and someone who has fulfilled the entire Torah. Avarov Yomov Shel Rasha, but the majority of the days of a wicked man, Shori Bara, he experiences evil, he experiences the negative. Vahainu Shavinoisov Meruben Al Zuchiyosov. That's true with regard to someone that has a majority of sin. That is what you saw in the second half of source number two. Umirian lo, this is a reference to the first half of source number two. Hainu, pa'omim sho'isin lo yom ra, when you're dealing with someone who has a majority of merit, at times he has a bad day. Kedei lemarek avanusa b'lamazeh, so as to cleanse him of his sins in this world. On the day that he has it bad, it will appear as if it's a day, it'll appear as if you're dealing with someone that's burnt the entire Torah. However, just for the record, the majority of the days of a tzaddik are good. V'hainu the low Reb Yankiv. This approach is not like Reb Yankiv. The Omar Schar Mitzvah B'hai Alma Leko Klal. According to Reb Yankiv, there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world at all. So when you're looking at Abaye, you can see that he is explaining the sources where reward for mitzvahs can be experienced in this world. And that's not like Rav Yankiv at all. So with Rabbeinu Tam's approach, we appreciate what Abaye was saying, what Merian Lo, what Metivin Lo means, the Yom Tav, the good day, the bad day. And then when Rava enters the picture, he introduces for the first time Rav Yankov's approach. We read the Tanaic source already. We're not going to read it again with Rav Yankov, who made his point based on a description of a son that went up to do Shiluach HaKain at his father's request, and the son fell and died. The conclusion that Rav Yankov reached is that the Pesuk's promises of L'man Yerufin Yomecha, L'man Yitav Loch, or L'man Yitav Loch, V'arach D'yomim, those promises of good and reward must be only in the world to come. We have a series of questions on that. And we introduced each one, as we mentioned before, with a triangle. So we continue in the Gemara text. You can see the first of the triangles about six lines before they get wider. The Dilma Lav Hochi Have. Maybe it never happened. Maybe it couldn't happen. That which Reb Yankov said, a son that went up to fulfill his father's request and did Shiluach HaKain and fell and died, that never happened. It couldn't happen because of the Torah's promise of reward. And the reward means in this world. The Gemara responds, Rav Yankov Maisa Chaza. Rav Yankov actually saw this happen. A child who went to fulfill his father's request of Shiluach HaKain fell and died. V'dilma Maharabah V'erahave. Maybe he fell and died because at that moment, you know, his falling and dying was a punishment for what he was sinning. At that moment, he was contemplating sin. The Gemara says, "Machshava ra ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzafel ma'aseh." Even if he was contemplating sin, the Almighty would not have considered the mere sinful thoughts problematic, because the Almighty does not combine sinful thoughts with sinful actions. Sinful actions the Almighty punishes for, but not sinful thoughts. Question: V'dilma maharaba avidus kechavim have? Maybe he was contemplating idolatry. Uksiv l'man tfois es beis Yisrael b'libam. And regarding idolatry, it says the Almighty will seize upon an individual even for the thoughts of his heart. So the reason he fell is because he had committed a sin, namely idolatrous thoughts, at that time. And there's no indication, there's no proof, therefore, from the story above, that rewards mentioned in the Torah for the cannot be in this world. No, rewards could be in this world. And why did this young man die? Because he was guilty of this sin, of thinking Maharab of Yisrofim. The Gemara answers, Ihunami, Reb Yankov himself did consider this, and he said, Hochi Komar, Isalka Daitach Schar Mitzvah Bahai Alma. If one were to think that there is reward in this world for mitzvahs, Amai Lo Ogin Mitzvahs Alei Ki Echi Delo Leisi Lidei Hirur. How is it that this young man's mitzvahs did not protect him? Ogin is to, like the word Mogain, to protect him, that he shouldn't come to sinful thoughts, to idolatrous thoughts. The Gemara asks, but still, V'ha'am Rav Elazar Shluchei Mitzvah Ein Nizokin, people that are sent on a mission to fulfill a mitzvah, people who are on their way to fulfill a mitzvah, are not subject to nezek, are not going to suffer any setback. So here you have someone on his way to do a mitzvah, and he did suffer a setback. The Gemara says, Hasam b'hali chosin shiny. What you just quoted of Shluchei Mitzvah Ein Nizokin, that's because they were on their way to do the mitzvahs. Here, he was not on his way to the mitzvah. He fell after he finished the mitzvah. Question: V'amar of Elazar Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizokin Lo Bali Chazan V'lo V'Chazi Rasan. People who had been on a mission to fulfill a mitzvah are protected not only en route to the mitzvah fulfillment, but also upon return. So how could this unfortunate climax or conclusion happen? Sulam Ruahava, the Kviya Hezeka. The reason for him falling is because you were dealing with a shaky ladder. A Sumru is a weak ladder where the rungs are not fastened in well. And it's usual for people to experience injury when using a Sulam Ruah. And we say, V'chol Hecha de Kviya Hezeka, wherever Hezek is common, wherever damage is common, injury is common, lo samchinan anisa, one does not rely on a miracle to save him. Dichti vayomer Shmuel eich elech v'shomar shol v'harageni. We see Shmuel, when told by the Almighty to anoint David as king, he was afraid of Shmuel, of Shaul, David's predecessor and also competitor. And Shmuel was fearful that Shaul would get wind of this and execute Shmuel. So he could not rely, because of the immediacy of danger, the blatant threat of retribution. Shmuel could not rely on the fact that God sent him on the mission, that he was a shliach mitzvah, because he was in what's called a kviya hezeka situation. And therefore Shmuel had to consult with the Almighty about some kind of alternative means of salvation, and not merely the fact that he's on his way to do a mitzvah. It therefore seems to me that Rabbi Yankov came to his conclusion, because as far as Shluchei Mitzvah are concerned, that general policy of protection could not be relied upon here because of Sulam Ru'uah. He was using a shaky ladder, a dangerous ladder. But even so, on a specific level, could he not have continued living and not fallen by virtue of the fact that the psukim guarantee reward? So on that point, Rabbi Yankov concluded that Schar B'Hai Al Molecha. And therefore, even if you were to come with the claim that maybe he was thinking about I had idolatrous thoughts, but even that, if there was reward in this world, the merit of his mitzvah would have protected him from that. He wouldn't have come to the idolatrous thoughts. So Rav Yankov is left to conclude that schar b'hai alma leka, that reward in this world doesn't exist. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef ilmole darshe achir lahai kro to Rabbi Yankov bar Barte lo chota. Achir is the nickname or code name given to Elisha ben Avuya. In Maseches Chagiga, there is a maisa in which Rabbi Meir appears with Elisha ben Avuya, who turns out to have become a sinner. Why did Elisha ben Avuya, who was a great Tanaic figure, what caused him to become the sinner that he did? Well, one thing is for sure, Rav Yosef tells us, he did not conclude the conclusions of his grandson. Rav Yankov was the son of Elisha ben Avuya's daughter, that's Bar Bate. Had Elisha ben Avuya come to that conclusion that the idea of reward for righteousness is not to be expected in this world, Elisha ben Avuya would not have gone off the track. The Gemara continues, V'acher mai hu, what was the story behind Acher? So Iko Diamri, some say, Ki Hai Gav Nechaza, that he saw this actual type of incident taking place. A son being requested by his father to do Shiluach HaKein, on his way down from the mission, he fell and died. And Elisha ben Avuya So how could that be? The Torah says that there is a reward for a long life, and here this man's life was cut short, even though he was performing two mitzvahs that guaranteed long life. So he reached his heretical conclusion that the truth is not in the Torah. V'igod Yamri, another version of what Achir, what motivated Achir to go astray. Lishna is the tongue. Lishna the chutzpah saturgimon. There was a very righteous figure whose name was Chutzpis. He was the maturgimon. He was one who would say to the public, that which the rabbi was lecturing on, he would say it over in a loud voice for the benefit of the public. That was his role. And he was a very righteous individual. His name was Chutzpis, the Meturgaman. And Achir saw Choza, he saw his tongue, the Havigor Le Dover Achir. This was at the time of the Roman persecution of the Jewish people. In other contexts, we speak about the 10 martyrs. So Chutzpis HaTurgaman was amongst them. And Achir saw his Chutzpis's tongue being dragged along by a Dover Achir. Dover Achir is a pig. Omar and Achir, seeing this horrendous scene, said, Pesha Hefik Margolius Yilachich Ofor. The mouth that emitted pearls should lick the dust. And he came to the conclusion that there is no reward, there's no judge, there's no accountability whatsoever. So came to the conclusion that it's a free-for-all, nofak chota. He went out and sinned, led a sinful life. Romi Rav Tuvi Bar Rav Kisna L'Rova. Romi means to raise a contradiction. So Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna raised a contradiction for Rava to deal with. Tnan, number one, Kol Ha'isa Mitzvah Achas Mativin Lo. Also in Lo, also Lo. One who does one mitzvah, so he gets reward. But he has to do something. Reward is for doing something in a proactive way. Veramini, we have another source that says, Yosha velo avera velo avara, noisim lo schar ka isa mitzvah. One who sits and desists from sin, he gets reward like someone who fulfilled a mitzvah. So according to source one, there is reward, but only if you perform a mitzvah proactively. According to source two, resisting sin is itself grounds for reward. Omar lay. So Rava answers, Hosam, what source 2 is describing, Kigon Shibodvar Avera Liyada Venitzel Heimena. Someone who was tempted, there came his way temptation for an act of forbidden intimacy. The word Avera in throughout the Shas is most often a code word for an act of forbidden intimacy. The Yetzahara, the drive of the evil inclination to engage in forbidden intimacy is a very strong factor in human existence, and specifically in the Jewish code of law. And someone who is able to overcome the temptation is worthy of reward, even though he didn't proactively perform a mitzvah. Rashi, toward the lower part of the page, says, Hosam Shibodvar Avera Liyodo, Hosam Yoshav Lo'ava Avera de Komar, Hahu Yoshav Lo'ava Avera de Komar, that which source number 2 said, passively not sinning, and it said Noitel Ola Schari gets reward. The Avera Shebali Yada V'Kofi Yitzro, an avera came his way. Avera generally, is, we could say, is a sin, and we mentioned the drive of or the sin, the temptation of forbidden intimacy came his way. The kofa yitzav lo'avar, and he subdued that inclination and did not yield. Ein mitzvah yisera mizu. There isn't any greater mitzvah than that. And you'll see the reason why we're translating Devar Avera as temptation for forbidden intimacy. The Gemara goes on, Ki ha de Rebbe Chanina bar Papi. The Gemara continues with incidents, with stories where this very phenomenon arose. You'll notice we have a house marking, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei / Mivneh heading, a house marking is featured, and it highlights the expression Tavate Hahi Matrinisa. Tavate Litboa is to, we'll say, to summon. Sometimes it means to collect from. In this case, it involves a Matrinisa. Maybe the word Matrinisa reminds you of the word matron. It has to do with a woman. Oftentimes Matrinisa is a woman of significance, of significant social standing. So the note on the side says, "Maisim im gedolim." We have stories involving some of our greatest rabbinic figures. Shetzlichu lizgaber al yitzram, that were successful in overcoming this drive, this yetzer, beinyan pitui ledvar vera, in incidents involving, we'll say, seduction. To participate in an act of forbidden intimacy. So as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to see illustrations of what source number 2 said, namely Yoshev lo avera noisim mischarka. He submits, someone who passively resists the evil inclination, he gets reward as if he proactively fulfilled a mitzvah. The Gemara continues. We said, like the story involving Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Tavate Hahi Matronisa, this woman came seeking out intimacy with him. Omar Milsa Umoli Nafshe Shichana Vekiva. He said a type of spell, and as a result of what he said, he had his body was filled with boils and scabs, making himself disgusting, and that was his let's say act of defense to ward off the woman in her seduction. Of the Himil Savitzi, well, she made some type of counter spell and healed him. So he remained attractive for her. Orak Toshabu Bahu Beboni. Orak means he ran away, and Tosha hid in a Beboni, in a bathhouse. And the Gemara now describes this bathhouse, before we actually read the words, the Gemara will describe this bathhouse as a place, as a location where there were mazikin. Mazikin are spiritual forces of evil, spiritual dangerous forces. And generally speaking, these mazikin are not prominent during daytime hours. But in this case, the bathhouse described was so dangerous that even two people who ordinarily, when you are dealing with two people, and certainly in the daytime, mazikin very rarely attack or approach. Nevertheless, in this case, in this particular Bay Bunny, they were present. So he, Rabbi Chanina bar Papi, ran to this particular Bay Bunny, the Chihavu Island Betrain. It was a bathhouse that even two who would enter, Afilu Biyamama, even during the daytime hours, Havu Mitsuki would be subjecting themselves to danger. And he went in there anyway. Why? Anything. It was almost like an almost suicidal, if you will, but just to avoid the power, the control of the Yetzer Hara that was threatening him, tempting him. L'machar amru le rabbanan ma nitrach. The next day, the rabbis asked him, what protected you? You went into this very dangerous place that few would ever emerge from alive, and you came out okay, unscathed. What protected you? Omar lehu. So Ravi Hanina answered, Shnei, we continue at the top of Daf Mem, Noise Kesar Shamruni Kol HaLaila. We can translate that as two imperial armor bearers protected me all night. Omru Lei, the Rabbonan said to him, Shem Odvar Averva Bali Yodcha V'Nitzalta Heimenu. Maybe a matter of forbidden morality, a matter of immorality came your way, and you were saved from it, and you resisted it. The Tanina, Kolabod Var Ervo Liodo Venitzal Heimenu, Oisin Lones. Anyone who finds himself in the way of temptation. We have to point out that we're not dealing with someone that's looking for the temptation. He was, you know, minding his own business, and something descended upon him, and all of a sudden the temptation overcame him, and he resisted, yielding to it. So that's Oisin Lones. From heaven, a miracle is done for him. And that's what they figured, that's what protected him. The Pasuk says, Gibore Koach, Oisei Dvoro, Lishmoya Bekoil Dvoro. I want just to note parenthetically that the term Gibor you find in the context of Ezu Gibor HaKoivish Yis Yitzro, who is considered the truly powerful warrior individual, someone who is able to overcome his evil inclination. So the Pasuk describes Gibore Koach, those of great strength that perform the will of our Almighty, Kagon Rabbi Tzadok v'chaverov, like Rabbi Tzadok and his colleagues, Rabbi Tzadok Tavate Hahi Matru Nisa. Similar event, the great Rabbi Tzadok was seduced by a particular woman. She attempted to seduce him, Omar Lo, and Rabbi Tzadok said to her, Cholosh Lili Boy V'lo Motzina, I feel weak, I can't engage in that. Iko Midi Lemechal, is there anything to eat? Omro Le, Iko Dvar Tome, she says, yeah, there's some bacon. Dvar Tome seems something that's some unkosher food, unkosher meat. Omar, Rabbi Tzadok figured, and we're not reading the next word. Rashi does not have that in his girsa, so we're going to assume he said it to himself. Omar, my nafka mina. Then he was wondering, what is it that the only thing she offered him was some bacon strips? So he concluded, "Da'avid ha ochel ha." One who is willing to yield to a sinful act is given a sinful food to eat. And it was prohibited food to eat. Shagris tanura koman chole. She heated up the oven and to put the meat into it for roasting. Solik v'yosef begave. Rabbi Tzadok himself ran and sat in this heated oven. Omar Omrole, my high. The woman says, what are you doing? Omar La, he said to her, to Ovid Ha, Nafil Baha. One who yields to his evil inclination eventually is going to burn in purgatory. So he was demonstrating to her what he was willing to subject himself to, just not to yield to the temptation and end up burning in purgatory later on. Omro le, she said, Iyadi kule hai lo tzartich. Had I known that this matter of intimacy is such a severe issue to you, I wouldn't have put you through the suffering, the pain. I wouldn't have subjected you to the temptation. Rav Kahana, have a komazvin dikuli. Rav Kahana was selling baskets, but the baskets described here are baskets that women would use for keeping their sewing supplies, their weaving supplies in. So Rav Kahana's business, if you will, his occupation was essentially dealing with the female market, selling them these baskets. Tavate ahi matrinisa, the same incident, same type of incident as we described above. Omar lo, so he told her, Ezel ichit nafshoi. Let me get myself ready. Ichit is to adorn oneself, make oneself attractive. So we're saying, let me go and get myself ready. Solik v'konofu migulara. When he said he was going to get himself ready, he actually ran up to a rooftop and jumped off. Also Elio kable, and Elijah the prophet came and caught him. Omalei, and Elio says, Atrachton arba mea parsi, you troubled me to redirect my course 400 parsangs, meaning you troubled me to travel 400 parsangs just to save you. Omalei, so Rav Kahana said, Mi goramli, what caused all of this? What's at the root of this? Lav ani yusa, is it not my impoverishment? In other words, I'm selling to women because that's the only means of income I have, because otherwise I'll die of poverty. If not for the poverty, I wouldn't have had to deal with women and this whole incident wouldn't have come to be. Upon hearing that, Yohev lay Shifa de Dinri. Shifa is a name of a vessel, so Elio presented him the vessel full of gold coins, and that enabled him to sustain himself without having to be subjected to this kind of temptation. Just an observation, if I may, before we conclude. You see how the greatest of our people, we'll say the authors of our oral Torah Shebaal Peh, the Gemara, the Talmud, Tanoim, Amoraim, you see how they experienced, we'll call life experience. They did not live, as one might term it, in an isolated ivory tower, not knowing what trials and tribulations common man goes through. Quite the contrary, they knew very well. They had to experience it themselves. The greatness of our great people is how they dealt with life experience. It's much easier to avoid sin and temptation if one is able to isolate himself and lock himself in some isolated location for the duration of his existence, and thereby avoid all temptation. Maybe that would be a wonderful thing to do. Maybe yes, maybe no. But in the reality is that our great sages encountered that which the general population encounters as well, and we see how they were able to deal with it, how they were able to overcome, and I can assure you it was no easy task. I think that these incidents illustrate that, and this should serve as a source of inspiration for each one of us, and amongst other reasons, that's why these incidents are included in the Talmud. Of course, as is the case with everything in the Torah, there are different and additional levels of understanding things. There's a whole realm of Torah's Hasoid, and the Gemara presents things in a hinting fashion. That you don't see the entire story necessarily, but on the we'll call it the superficial level, these incidents have that level of understanding as well, and as I repeat, can serve as a source of great inspiration. And when people find themselves in a situation where the yetzer, where the evil inclination is seeming to reign supreme, one should not lose hope and realize that with the with heavenly assistance, one can extricate himself from these problematic situations, and therefore we should all have chizuk from this and continue our pursuit of true Torah learning and righteousness in practice. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.